Good morning and welcome to our worship today. This is the sixth Sunday now of Easter. This coming Thursday is the Ascension of our Lord, 40 days after the resurrection. In our focus today, Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. And what he is focusing on as he speaks to us is love for him should show itself in obedience to his teaching and trust in the peace that he gives to us. We pray, Father of lights, every good and perfect gift comes from you. Inspire us to think of those things that are true and long for those things that are good, that we may always make our petitions according to your gracious will, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us just join together. If you know it, I will speak Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. Keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We now turn to the Word of God. Our first lesson is the Old Testament lesson from 2 Kings chapter 6. I'll begin reading at verse 14. We see how the Lord is watching over us and protects his believers. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So the Lord struck them with blindness, as Elisha had asked. This is God's word. Our second lesson is from the book of Revelation, chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 14. Obedience brings true wealth. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." This is God's word. Before I read our gospel lesson, which is serving as our sermon text, years ago there was this a hanging that would grace many a kitchen wall. It was a house blessing, a German house blessing. And it was not just in Germany, it would also be here in America, in the areas where the German immigrants settled. Let me read it. It provides really an excellent commentary for our lesson before us today. I'll just read the English. Where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is blessing. Where there is blessing, there is God. And where there is God, there is no need. That's it, my friends. Blessing, translated into many languages, is that simple. That's what Jesus promises his disciples. His disciples back then, his disciples today. As Jesus prepares for his departure, which I said, 40 days after Easter, he ascends into heaven. He prepares his disciples to carry on that ministry until he takes them to himself in heaven. And that's what Jesus speaks to us today. We'll read then the words of our lesson, John 14, 23 to 29. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I am going away, and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is God's word. The words which I just read are an answer to the only recorded words of Judas. Verse 22, I'll read the verse right before our text. "Then Judas," not Judas Iscariot, "said, 'But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?'" There were two disciples named Judas. This one was not Iscariot. This one also went by Thaddeus. And Judas had struggled with an earlier comment by Jesus that in the future only his disciples would know him and be close to him. And Judas asked Jesus why Jesus didn't intend to show himself to the rest of the world in a powerful, convincing way. As you listen to Jesus' answer, he is in effect saying, "Judas, disciples, you and me, that will be your job." Verses 23 and 24. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own, they belong to the Father who sent me." Where there is faith, there is love. That was the first blessing on that wall. Where there is faith, there's love. Where there's faith, there's action. Imagine for a moment that Jesus was going to come and spend the rest of the week with you. He's going to go to your house and spend the week. Would anything be different in your home this week if Jesus spent the week there with you? How would it affect your lifestyle, your words, your actions, your behavior? Would you be glad that he was leaving by the end of the week? My friends, Jesus is in your home all the time. He says he makes his home in your hearts. Wherever your hearts go, that means wherever you go, he goes. Wherever Jesus goes, it shows. Have you ever been shocked at someone's actions, maybe their words, and you commented, either to yourself or to someone else, "I just don't understand how he or she could do that"? Actually, it's easy to understand, isn't it? If Jesus is not living in a person's heart, who is? What's more shocking is when you and I, who by faith have Jesus' love living in our hearts, are not committing acts of love. Oh, God, grant that we foster the love of Jesus the same way that we foster the love of other people who are in our lives. Let us spend time with our Lord in worship and in prayer in His Word. Where there is faith, there is love. And where there's love, there's also peace. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus spoke these words of our lesson in the upper room on Maundy Thursday evening. On the eve of the most violent day in the history of mankind, Jesus promises peace. On that horrible Friday we call good, God the Father ordered a cross for His Son. And on that cross, Jesus bore the brunt of our sin. Every evil thought, every evil word, every evil action, yours, mine, and the entire world's, was put on Jesus. Our sin was punished in full. As Jesus said, "It is finished," God declared us not guilty, thus turning the cross into a crown. A crown of righteousness. As a result of God's love displayed there on Calvary's cross, there is peace. Not in the world, but in our hearts. On our hearts, there is this big do not disturb sign. The peace that we have with God cannot be disturbed. Not by any of the garbage that's taking place in our world today, not by all the garbage that we see on our TV screens, not by COVID or guilt or fear, sickness or death or plans gone awry. The peace we have with God does not depend upon humanity getting along with one another. It's guaranteed by that which is unchanging in our changing world and lives, and that is the love of God. Where there is faith, there's love. Where there's love, there's peace. And where there's peace, there is blessing. Verses 25 and 26. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I have said to you. When I was a freshman in high school, we had a teacher whose nickname was Clipper. Everyone in the school called him Clipper, even some of the other teachers. And it would take a while to stop and think about what his real name was. His nickname came from the Clippership. He would clip along in the history class. Clip along with his lectures, and if you didn't keep up, you would be sunk. Well, the reason I mention him is just simply because of the way teaching methods change, from lecture mode to maybe a much more interactive method. Well, in these verses, what Jesus was telling his disciples was that their learning and instruction was really going to change. They were going to change from the classroom to go now out into the field. But Jesus says, you're not going alone. With peace in your hearts also came a blessing that the Holy Spirit would give them everything that they needed to carry out their ministry. And we have that same blessing. And what is that blessing? It's called the means of grace. It is the gospel in the word and the sacrament, the good news of Jesus. As a writer has a pen, the soldier has a gun, the doctor has a scalpel, the dentist has a drill, the Christian has the gospel, the good news of Jesus. What a blessing. And where there is blessing, there is God. Verse 28. Jesus said, you heard me say, I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I." There was an actor by the name of Jim Carrey. He is no longer as popular as he once was, but even he didn't start out that way. In his early days, he was still a very struggling actor. But he did something for motivation, and what he did is he wrote a check to himself in the amount of $1 million, and he dated it for three years into the future. And sure enough, 3 years later, as one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, Jim Carrey was able to cash that check. What Carrey did for himself, the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each and every one of us. He's written each one of us a check, dated into the future. We will cash it when Jesus takes us home again to heaven. With his almighty power, with his everlasting love, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gives us the blessing of eternal life. But until that time, as God carries on his work from heaven, he blesses our work here in this earth. And when you look around, there is a lot of work that we need to get done. But yet at the same time, what does the Bible tell us? Work while it is day before the night comes when no one can work. There will be a deadline. God wants us to serve him night and day in anticipation for that day when he will take us away from this world. And there's a lot at stake. There's the greatest thing that is at stake in my life, in our lives, and those whom we love, and those who we still need to reach out to. And that is the crown of life. That is what's at stake. Precious blood-bought souls are at stake. Where there is God, there is no need. The final one of those blessings. Verse 29, "I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." Jesus spoke these words to his disciples to make sure that when he did leave to return home, they would be ready for it. And they were ready, because Jesus left them with this promise: "Surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." That was a promise of his presence, a promise that in him they had everything they needed. And that is a promise that's been given to us. What are some things that go together? Peanut butter and jelly? Maybe ice cream and apple pie? Baseball and hot dogs? Well, what are some things that don't go together? Life, death, war, peace. You know what else doesn't go together? God and need. God and need can't go together, because where there is God, there is no need. And so we have come full circle then on that wonderful little synopsis of our lesson. Where there is faith, there is love. Where there is love, there is peace. Where there is peace, there is God. And where there is God, there is no need. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us join together in praying the prayer our Savior has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us safely to this new day. Defend us with your mighty power, and grant that this day we neither fall into sin nor run into any kind of danger. And in all we do, direct us to what is right in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. God bless your week. Amen.